Begin the current daf, Masechtas Baba Kama, daf Mem Dald. Begin on the bottom of daf Mem Gimel Mabez, 5 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah was discussing the halachas of a Sher Shenogach Es HaAdam, when an ox gores a person, the similarities it has between Tam and Mu'ud, that in all situations the ox gets stoned for having killed the person, but the difference is regarding the halach of Kaifer that only applies to a Sher HaMu'ud. Now, as the Pasuk actually continues, after it talks about a Sher HaMu'ud being stoned and the owner of that ox being Chaim V'Kaifer, the Pasuk then continues as, which is the halach of our Mishnah, V'chein B'bein Oy V'vas. The same halach applies to when the ox gores a son or a daughter, meaning to a minor, will have the same halacha of the ox being stoned and the owner of the ox being liable for kaifer. So the Gemara brings the source for this halacha. Tarabon b'lut nabraisa. The pasuk in Shemai says, which we were just quoting, says, oy ven yigach, oy vas yigach, that or the ox will gore a son or a daughter. Says the braisa, that's l'chai v'al katanim, that's to create a liability for the ox having killed a minor, that the ox is going to be stoned, kigadaylam, just like the ox is stoned when it kills an adult, as the previous pasuk had said. Now, that's the source, says the braisa. But the braisa asks a question. But it seems to be logical, and you don't need to have a pasuk to tell us this halacha. As the braisa says, why there's logic? Hayil v'chiev, since there's a liability of death, when you have Adam ba'Adam, when a person kills another person, there is a death penalty. So too, v'chiev, there's also a death penalty of Sher ba'Adam, when an ox kills a person, what we're calling all along skila, the ox gets stoned. Says the Braisa, ma k'shechiev Adam ba'Adam, so therefore you should make the following comparison. Just like when a person kills a person, lo yishna bein, there's no difference between the victim being ketanim l'gedaylim, whether the one who was killed was a minor or an adult, as the pasuk says, kiyaka kol nefesh adam, when someone will kill the soul of any person, which seems to include any soul, even a minor, so therefore, af k'shechiv sher ba'adam, then the same thing should apply when an ox kills a person, like tachlik by ben ketanim l'gedaylim, you shouldn't differentiate between a minor and an adult. Why do we need a special pasuk to tell you that the ox that kills a minor, a ben or a yavas, will have the halacha being stoned? Why should we think we should differentiate, just like we don't differentiate when a man kills another man? Now, that's logic. The Oid, moreover, asked the Braisa, Kal v'chaymer, actually it's more than just a comparison, it's a Kal v'chaymer, which means to say that if you find by the more stringent area one halacha, then definitely by the lenient, you learn out something that, if something that's maybe less reason to say so, you say it, then something that's more reason to say so, for sure you say it. Which, as the Braisa explains as follows, Uma adam, if you find regarding when a person kills a person, shaloi asabai, that you did not make the murderer ketanim kigedaylim, minors like adults, because like the pasuk in Biyikah Chavdalat says, v'ish kiyaka, a man when he will kill, which tells you ish v'lay katan, only an adult is liable for the murder and not a minor. And yet still chayiv boy al, but still there's a liability regarding the victim being haketanim kigedaylim. As we said before, the victim doesn't make a difference regarding if it's a minor or an adult. So therefore continues the Braisa, as we continue tabim dal and aleph. So sher ba'adam, so regarding when an ox kills a person, she'asa b'ketanim, that we made the murderer, the ox that kills the victim, kigedaylim, like an adult ox that kills. The reason being how we know that is because what's called a shir ben yoymai, an ox on the day that it's born, is called already, quote, a shir. As the pasuk says in Mirkach of Beis, shir echesav ki yivali, when they'll be born, you see it already has the appellation, the definition of shir, and therefore it fits into the pasuk when it says ki yigach shir, when an ox will gore isha isha, that there's going to be liability. So if you see that regarding the murderer, the ox itself, we don't differentiate between ketanim gedaylim, whereas by adam ba'adam we do. So ain't it din shechiv? So isn't it a kal v'chaymer that we should create a liability for skila, for death penalty, ala ketanim kegedaylim, when an ox gores, whether it be an adult or even a minor child, just like you make a liability for him when he kills an adult person? It's a kal v'chaymer. Because there you don't even have the complete comparison between Katan and Gadol regarding the murderer, and yet you do regarding victims. So here when you make it even regarding the murderer of the ox, for sure you should make it regarding the victim. Those are the Braisa's two questions. Why do we need a pasuk for this? Says the Braisa, loy, no. Because im amarta adam ba'adam, because if you're going to say that regarding when a person kills a person, that then we're going to treat the victim the same, whether it's a minor or an adult, That is Shekein Chiv, because yes, we find a certain stringency that there's liability by damages when a person damages another person, Bar Ba'advar, regarding four primary types of payments that are a person's liable for, which actually, as Taima Bishar, in contrast to an ox, Shein Chayv Ba'advar, that when it gores a person and damages him, there's, regarding one of the five, Shur has similarity, which is the actual nezik, the damages itself, a Shur has to pay for that. But the other four things, Sheves, Ripui, Boishes, the other things that are unique for when a person damages another person, that doesn't apply to a Shur. So therefore, maybe you would think that only by Adam Ba'adam, where we find that there are certain stringencies, that they will make a cotton like a guddle, but by a Shur, when it kills a person, that we're not going to make a cotton like a guddle. Tamalema, that's why the Braisa says, that's why the Pasuk needed to say, Oiven yigach, evas yigach, or if it gores a son or a daughter, which that sounds like minors, because the previous Pasuk had already said, Vehemis isha isha, if the ox will kill a man or a woman, so what's son or daughter? Is l'chayev al ketanam kegedaylam, to say that there's going to be a liability for the death, just like an adult, so too a minor. Now, continues the Braisa. Now, I would only know that this halacha applies to when it's a shor hamut, because that's what the pasuk is talking about over there. It's in the parasha of where there's a liability of kofer, which it already did it three times. Then it says it kills a person. So too, it says, ven yigach evas yigach. B'taminayin, how do I know that the shor is going to be liable for the death penalty as a shor tam from its first few times if it kills a minor? Says the Braisa, dinu. It's logical. Why? Since there's a liability, as the previous pasuk had said, for when the ox kills a man or a woman, and uvas, and there's also liability, as this pasuk is saying, of when it kills a son or a daughter regarding minors. So we make the following comparison. So it's called mamatzino. Just like when there's a liability regarding an adult man or woman. You didn't differentiate regarding the halacha of the ox being stoned. As the pasuk, there's two psukim regarding the ox being stoned, both by Tom and by Mu'it. There's no difference. And so too, when the Torah then makes a liability for the ox killing the son and the daughter, there's not going to be any difference regarding the halacha of the ox being stoned between it being a Tom or a Mu'it. That's one point. Moreover, says the Braisa, it's actually a Kal V'chaymer that you should create a liability in the Shur Tom for a cotton. Because Ma Ish V'Isha, because whereas what we find by an adult man or woman, they actually have the lower end, they have a lesser power when it comes to regards to the halachas of damages. Why? Because if an adult man or woman damage other people, they actually have to pay. There's a certain liability that they have. Whereas, and still, still, when they're the victim, we made no differentiation regarding the owner of the ox, that there's a liability for having killed that man or woman, whether it's a tam or a mu'ud. So says the Braisa ben Ubas, so regarding a son or a daughter, minors, that they actually have a greater strength in the regards to halachas of damages. The reason for that is because regarding a cheresh treita and a katan, what we're discussing, the halacha is brought that it's called pigiyasin ra. The encounter with them is bad. Why? Because someone who damages them is liable. Whereas when they damage other people, since they have no das, they're actually exempt. So they have the upper hand regarding when they have an accident with someone, when they have nizakin, they have the upper hand, whereas if someone damages them, that person is going to be liable. When they damage others, they're exempt, in contrast to an adult. When an adult man or woman damage other people, they are liable. So therefore, isn't it logical to say, that we shouldn't differentiate between them, meaning when someone will gore them, when the shur tam will gore them, where if it's a son or a daughter, minors, where they have the upper hand when it comes to nizakin, for sure the shur tam is going to be liable for the death penalty for having killed them. So on that says the Braisa, Amarta, he said as follows. The question that is going to be posed is, can you really say this? Meaning you had two points to say why we would know that Allah of Shur Tam would be liable for killing a ben or bas, one from a mamatzino, and one from a Kal V'chaymer. On that, the Gemara asks on both of these points. You said that it's a Kal V'chaymer. That asked the Gemara, V'chidonin Kal Michamer, can we really learn something lesser, something more lenient, from something more stringent? Meaning, can we really learn the halacha of a tam from the halacha of a mu'id, which is what we're trying to show. We're trying to show that by ben u'bas, there's a liability by Mu'id, we want to say the same thing applies to halacha of Tam. But in that asked the Gemara, can you really learn the Kal from Chomer Lahachmer Olav, to be stringent on the lesser area, to say that just like by what's more severe, which is the Mu'id, there's going to be a liability for the shar that killed the minor, so to regarding the more lenient halacha, there's going to be a liability. Now, what's the Gemara's question? The drasha was, we learned that tam from mu'id, from a mamatzino, from a comparison. We said, just like there's a liability by an adult man and woman, and there's a liability by a ben or bas, by the halachas of mu'id, that there, for sure, that we all agree, the Torah tells us, that there's going to be a liability for the shar that kills them. Now, and the reason why that comparison is because the pasuk that we said, oy ven yigach, oy vas yigach, is talking about by a shor hamu'id. Now, the question that's being asked is the liability that's by ish and isha. There, you said that, okay, there the Torah makes the tam like a mu'id. So you wanted to say, so to ben abbas, you'll also make the tam like a mu'id. Now, the problem is, as Rashi explains this, what really ends up coming out on some level is that you're learning out the halachas of tam from mu'id. Why? Because if we didn't have a source that there was a liability for the ox killing the minor girl and boy by a mu'id, then we would not have been able to learn out tam from ish and isha. In other words, when you read the braisa, it sounds like, and therefore wouldn't be a difficulty, that we're just comparing the halachas of ish and isha to the halachas of ben or bas. Just like there's no difference between tam and mu'id, here also there's no difference between tam and mu'id. Now, that definitely makes sense to compare. But ask the Gemara, and the way Rashi explains it, it's not really so. Because had you not had a source of mu'id by ben or bas, you wouldn't be able to have learned out from the tam from ish and isha. The reason being is because even mu'id itself of ben or bas, had we not had a pasuk, ven yigach evas yigach, you wouldn't have been able to learn out from logic from isha isha. Maybe that would only apply by Ish and Isha and not by Ben Abbas. So therefore, essentially, there's an important component of here for what you're learning out is really you're learning out the Tam from Mu'id, where you see by Ben Abbas, it has the halacha by Mu'id, just like Ish and Isha has the halacha by Mu'id. So it's just like by Isha Isha, it has that halacha, so too by Tam, so too regarding Ben Abbas, I have the halacha by Tam. So you're really learning Tam from Mu'id. So on that, the Gemara's question is, Im Hichmer, if the Torah was stringent by Ben Abbas, just like it is regarding Ish and Isha, to say that the Shari is going to be liable, B'muid, the Torah writes it by Mu'id, and the reason why it writes it by Mu'id, as it does there in those Pesukim, it's talking about by Mu'id, is because Hachamer, that's something that's a more stringent halacha by Mu'id, which is regarding the halacha of Kaifer. But that asks the Gemara, Tachmer, should we ourselves, based on logic, be stringent B'tam Hakal? By the halachas of Tam, which is more lenient, who said? Who said that Ben Abbas will have that same halacha as Ish and Isha? You thought it's a very similar comparison. Mamatzina, we find that. It's not true. Because essentially, you're really learning out Tam from Mu'id. And who said that the stringencies that we apply, that it applies to Ben Abbas, by Mu'id, will apply also to the halachas of Tam, which is usually more lenient? So again, although it seems like it was just a Mamatzina, it's not just that. It's actually trying to make it more learning of a tam from mu'id, and who said that you have the stringency of mu'id that apply to tam? Now, va'id, moreover, that was just regarding refuting the mamatzino. Now moving on to the next proof, there was 2 points that the Brayis had brought up, was the kal v'chomer. So regarding the kal v'chomer that we mentioned at the end, that also asks, is also challenging, because im amarta be'ish ve'isha, if you're going to say, by an adult man and woman, that, yeah, there you'll treat a tam like a mu'id, that the shor will be liable for skila in both situations, that's shekin chayavim b'mitzvahs, because it killed an adult man and woman who are responsible to fulfill the mitzvahs. They're already adults. They already had a bas mitzvah and a bar mitzvah. So there, when the ox kills him, that's a really severe thing. Therefore, the ox is going to be liable for skila. Who said that you'll say the same halacha when the ox kills a boy or a girl that are not bar mitzvah yet, that are exempt from the mitzvahs? Maybe the ox would not be liable for skeel in those situations. There's no kal v'chomer. Maybe it wouldn't apply because it's something that it makes sense that it only applied to an adult man and woman. Says the Braisa, you're right. Tamalema, that's what you have to actually learn out from the pasuk. Although the pasuk is talking about by the parasha of Shor HaMu'id, but the words are oyven yigach, oyvas yigach, or a son it will gore, or a daughter it will gore. Why does it say the word gore 2 times? It could have just said, Oiven Oivas Yigach. So the fact that it says an extra word Yigach is coming to include other Negiches, other Gorings, which tells us Negiche Betam, Negiche Bemur, the Halacha applies both by Goring when it's a Tam, that's what's being included, and by when it's going, when it's a mu'ud, and negicha l'misa, negicha l'nezaken. Halacha applies whether it gores that it kills the boy or the girl, or if it just damages the boy and the girl. In all situations, there's going to be a liability, just like it is by an adult man or woman, whether it kills the man, injures the man, mu'ud, tam, same thing would apply to the halachas of ven, of as, regarding ketanim. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, where we were talking about the previous Mishnah regarding ox killing a person, here the Mishnah says when it didn't intend to kill the person. An ox was just rubbing itself against the wall. And now then it made the wall fall and it fell on the person, thus killing the person. Let's say the animal was intending to kill an animal. But by mistake it ended up killing a person. Or the Kanani ben Yisrael intended to kill a non-Jew and it killed a Jew. L'nefalim v'harg ben kayama, it intended to kill a child that was non-viable, wasn't going to survive, and it ended up killing a viable child, a different one. Says the Mishnah Pater, as the Gemara explained, since it didn't intend to kill a person that it would be liable for death for, although it ended up doing that, just like a person is exempt in those situations, so too applies to the shark. Now actually, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, that it says Pater, there's a machlekes in the Gemara how to explain this. Amar Shmuel, he says, Pater mimisa. The halacha is telling us that the ox is exempt from being killed. It's not going to be stoned, as it usually is when it kills a person, because it didn't intend to kill the person, which the Gemara later on, the Amud Beis, is going to explain that kemisas bailim, just like the death of the owner, if it kills, that's only when it intends to kill. So too, the misas asher, the ox, when it kills, it only gets killed when it intended to kill the person. But, says Shmuel, the chayiv b'kayfer. However, there is still going to be a liability of, if it's a shor hamu'ud, for the owner to pay kaifer. The reason being is because Shmuel is going like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan mentioned on the previous daf, where the pasuk could have just said kaifer. It says im kaifer, if the extra word im comes to include, even if the ox killed without kavanah, without intention. But Rav Amahi disagrees, and he says, no, pata mizeh umizeh, that the ox is exempt both from being killed and from making his owner being liable in kaifer. That's because he learns like Rabbah, who he also said, not like Rabbi Yochanan in the previous daf, that, and it says, Hashar Yisakil, the pasuk compares the halacha of the ox being stoned to the liability of kaifer, which is only if the ox is being stoned, then the owner pays kaifer. In this case, where the ox is not being stoned, according to everybody, because he didn't intend to kill the person, so therefore, there's not going to be a liability of kaifer. Now, however, the Gemara asks a technical question on Shmuel, Vamai. Why is Shmuel learning when it says in the Mishnah Pater is only for Misa, but there's going to be a liability for Kaifer? Hatamhu. But seemingly, this is a case of Tam, where that's not normal for an ox to have done already three times, to have made a wall fall down and kill a person that way. So it's something that's abnormal for it. It's a Tam. So therefore, even according to the one that learns Im Kaifer, to come to include Shalei B'Kavana, that's only for a Mu'id that does Shalei B'Kavana, because the whole halach of Kaifer only applies by Mu'id. And here, this animal is a Tam for just having rubbing itself against the wall and having killed the person. So that the Gemara answers, no, actually, could the Amar Rav. Actually, Shmuel would explain the halach of this Mishnah the way Rav explains a different halach in a later on Mishnah. Regarding that, Rav says, B'Mu'id Lipul Abnei Adam B'Bayris. This is brought later on, Per K'Shar Shanagach, B'Shar Shanagach is a Parah, and the Mimchesim Abayis. Rav explains that you could have a mu'id where, although the animal fell on a person in a pit, it's actually not the first time that it did it, and that's why it would be considered a mu'id. So says the Gemara, Hachanami, here also Shmuel would say the same type of an answer for the halacha of our Mishnah, it's b'mu'id l'eschachach al-b'nei adam b'ksalim. It had already did it a few times already, that it had rubbed itself against the wall and making the wall fall and having killed people, and so therefore it's a mu'id, and that's why there's going to be a liability of kaifer. Now that the Gemara asks, Ihach, if that's the case, well, then bar katalahu. Then actually, why are you saying that this pater from Misa, the ox is not liable because it didn't intend to kill a person? What do you mean? Obviously, it intended to kill a person, and therefore it should be stoned, because we see it's been doing this a few times already, and therefore it makes sense that it's killing people. In other words, that it's intending to do that. As the Gemara explains, Bishlema Hasam, very well we understand that where we just brought that precedent from Rav's Halacha later on there on Daf Memchesim Abayis. Now there the case was talking about that an ox fell on the person in a pit. There, as Rashi explains, you explain like the Gemara there answers over there, that the Gemara there wondered, how do you ever have a case of a Shur HaMu'ud, that why wasn't it killed on the first few times that it killed? Whereas the Mefarshim explained, although a different sugya, we already explained that there are certain situations that's possible that the ox wasn't killed the first few times, but there in that situation, those terutzim wouldn't answer. So why wasn't it that the ox wasn't killed the first few times? So on that, the Gemara there explains, because the chaz yireikav v'nafal. Actually, the case over there is Tomat, where it fell on the person in the pit a few times, is Tomat where the animal saw vegetation, herbs, grass over there by the edge of the pit, and it fell in. Now, it fell in unintentionally on the person that's in the pit, because it's only because it saw the grass over there and they came to eat it and it fell in. So therefore, it was Shalei B'Kavana, and when Shalei B'Kavana, although already did a few times and already patterned, it must be that there was intention, we explained that it wasn't intention to kill. So how to do it a few times? Because of the grass, it kept on going back to it. So therefore, it wasn't stoned. And therefore, you can get the situation of Mu'id to be liable for Kaifer. Elahacha, but over here, since it must be that it's a Mu'id for killing people, Ma'ikalameimu. What are you going to be able to say? How can you say that it's called Shaloi Miskavim? We're saying the reason why the animal's not stoned because it didn't intend to kill the person. How can you say it didn't intend to? What's going on over here? It already did this a few times. It must be that it's intending to kill the person because it already killed the person a few times. So why is it not being stoned? If you tell me it's Chayv Kaifer and that's how it's a mood. So that the Gemara answers, no. Hachinami here also, exactly like we said over there in that Gemara for Rav, we see that b'meschachach b'kais lanasai, we know that he's rubbing himself against the wall for his own pleasure, and it wasn't to make it fall on the person. Although it happened a few times, he rubbed himself, he really likes getting that scratch over there on the wall, and he has killed a person a few times already, and therefore there's a liability of Kaifer. He's still not going to be stoned the ox because he didn't intend to kill the person. Which you might ask him, how do we know that? It definitely makes sense, the pattern, to say with the variables that it's intending to kill people. So therefore it should be stoned. How do we know that it was doing it for its pleasure this 3, 4, 5 times that it's been rubbing itself against the wall? So I think my answer is the bus of the novel. The way we know it is because after the wall already fell, it was still rubbing itself against the wall. If it was intending to kill the person, okay, it already accomplished its goal. But it fell and it's still rubbing. That's how we know that it was for its own hana and not kavanas lahazik. And that's why it's not going to be chayiv for skila. Now, however, the Gemara continues on the base and asks, but the question now becomes, on Shmuel, vakati tsrayis ninu. But now the difficulty is, when it made the wall fall down, that essentially is the halacha of tsrayis. Tsrayis is when the animal damages through something else, which the classic case is the case of tsrayis pebbles, where it kicks the ground, makes a pebble fly out, and damages something. That's not with the body of the animal itself. Now the problem is, the halacha of kaifer is only said regarding negicha. Although it has to be kavanas lahazik, which yes, this case is tomar intended to damage. That's the characteristic of Karen, of the shur shenagach. But moreover, is that it has to be with its body itself, with its horn, with something on it. Here, it's not with the body of the animal itself. It made the wall. It used something else, projected that onto the person. So how is the reliability of kaifer? So now the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Mari, Bered Dafti Kahana, says the ka'azel, the case is talking about where the animal goes with the wall, minei, meaning from him, meaning it didn't just push the wall, rub against it, and then the wall fell. Yes, that would be tsrayis, and then there wouldn't be kaifer. It's talking about where its body was pushing it as it went, and every moment it was the animal pushing it, that was what ended up killing the person underneath the wall. So therefore, there is a liability of kaifer. It's considered as if it's the body of the animal itself. And that the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Mari Berei Dav Kahana, he says, the ka'azel, it's that the wall was going minei, from the animal. In other words, you're right, if it would have just pushed against the wall, and then it would fall, that would be tsrayis, it would be exempt from kaifer. But here, it was the animal that was constantly pushing and moving with it. And as it fell, it was the animal pushing it, and that's how it fell on the person and killed them. So that's essentially the body of the animal. It doesn't have to be the body itself. It could be the saddle, something on it, but it has to be the force of the animal, not something that it projected and then that went and hit something else. That would be tsrayis. This is considered the body of the animal itself. That's why there is a liability of kaifer. But since it didn't intend to kill the person, that's why there's going to be an exemption from skila. It definitely, it intended to rub itself against the wall, but not to kill the person. So that's why Shmuel's halacha was that it's going to be pater from skila, but it's going to be chayiv in kaifer. Now the Gemara says, Tanika Basay de Shmuel, but you have to the Rav. We have a Braisa that supports Shmuel, and it's actually a refutation of Rav. The Braisa says as follows. It says, Yesh chiv b'misa u'b'kaifer. Now certain oxen that are liable for death, and its owner is going to be liable for kaifer. Now, v'yesh chiv b'kaifer u'pata b'misa, there are certain cases where the owner is going to be liable in kaifer, but the animal is going to be exempt from the death penalty. V'yesh chayv b'misa u'pata b'na kaifer. There are certain cases where the animal is liable for the death penalty, but the owner would be exempt from kaifer. And v'yesh pata mizeh u'mizeh. And there are situations where there's going to be exemption both from kaifer and from the ox having the death penalty. Explains the Braisa. So how do you have these four cases? So mu'id b'kavana, when you have both, you have the animal doing it, that it's a mu'id, already did it a few times. And it does it with intention to kill the person. So chiv b'misa u'b'kaifer. So then you have both the liability for death because it did it with intentionality. And moreover, since it's already a mu'id, the owner is going to be chayv and kaifer. Now, then you have another case, mu'id shalei b'kavana, where it already did it three times, but it did it without intention. So then, chiv b'kaifer, so then there's going to be liability for kaifer, because it's already a mu'id. U'pata b'misa, and however, the animal is going to be exempt from death penalty because it didn't intend to kill the person. Which, that's because since we make the drasha of kaifer, which is, it says im kaifer, that comes to include even when it does it, shalei b'kavana, just like as if it had done the b'kavana, which that's what supports Shmuel and says not like Rav, which was, again, like Rabbi Yechanan, not like Rav, but from the previous daf, that we see that there's a liability for kaifer, even when the animal is exempt from the death penalty. Moving on to the third case, tam b'kavana, when it's a shart tam, it's only on its first times, and it intended to kill the person, so chayv b'misa u'pata m'kaifer, then the animal is liable for the death penalty, because it intended to kill the person, and however, the owner is exempt from kaifer, because it's not a mu'id yet. And the last case, tam shalei b'kavana, when it's a tam, and it didn't even intend to kill the person, patur mizeh u'mizeh, then there's going to be exemption both from the death penalty, because it didn't intend to, and also from kaifer, because it's not a mu'id yet. Now continues the Braisa, v'hanizakin, regarding the damages, when the shor is mazik, where it doesn't kill the person, it just damages, shalei b'kavana, without intention, so it doesn't kill, and that is a machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, Rabbi Shimon Paiter, Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a liability, and Rabbi Shimon says that there's going to be an exemption from the damages. So the Gemara explains, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda that the animal is chayiv, even though it did a shalei b'kavana? So it says, Yalef mikayfer, he learns it out from the halacha of kayfer, which is just like we explained before, as the Tanya this Braisa holds, ma kayfer shalei b'kavana chayiv, just like the liability of kayfer is chayiv, even if the animal did it without intention to kill the person. That is, as we learn that from the Ribu of Im Kaifer. So to regarding the halachas of damages, shalei b'kavana chayiv, even though it did it without intention, there's going to be a liability. Whereas Reb Shimon Yalef mikatali d'shar, he learns out from a different source why it's going to be pater. He learns it out from the death penalty of the ox, which makatali shalei b'kavana pater, just like regarding the animal being stoned. If it killed the person without intending to, the animal is going to be exempt. So to regarding the damages of the ox, if it didn't intend to damage, the owner is going to be exempt. Now the Gemara asks, regarding each interpretation, why didn't learn like the other one? Ask the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Nelef Mikatali. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda learn out from the animal's death penalty to say that, just like he's exempt when he does Shalei B'Kavana, so to regarding the Zakin, he should be exempt. So that the Gemara answers, done in Tashlumin Mitashlumin. Yehuda holds, we learn that the halacha of payment, of compensation, which is the halacha that applies when the animal damages someone else, from the halacha of Tashlumin, which is the halacha of Kaifer. Which, yes, we're chayven Kaifer Shalei B'Kavana, therefore you're chayven the Zakin Shalei B'Kavana. V'ein done in Tashlumin Mimisa. You don't learn the halacha of payment, which is the halacha that we're talking about for damages, from the halacha of the animal being killed, which has nothing to do with compensation for the damaged party, which, yes, although he's not going to get skila, but that's not what we're going to learn out from. We're going to learn out from Tashlumin, and therefore there is a liability. Now the Gemara asks the other way. Rabbi Shimon Nami Nelef Mikayfer. Why does Rabbi Shimon learn out, like Rabbi Yehuda does, from the loch of Kayfer to say, just like by Kayfer, you are Chayf Shalei B'Kavana, so to regard in the Zakin? So that he says, Rabbi Shimon would tell you, no, Dan Chayuve Deshar, you learn out the liabilities of the ox, meaning to say, the compensation of the damages that happened to that other person is because of the ox. So that halacha of nizakin, which is the chiyuvim that come from the shor, you learn it out mechiyuv b'dishar, from the liabilities of the ox, meaning which is its own liabilities when it gets stoned for what it did. Lafuki kaifer de chayuva de bailam hu. Whereas you cannot learn it out from the halach of kaifer, which has nothing to do with the ox. It's not the liability of the ox. It's not regarding what he had done and regarding what he gets back in return. It's regarding the owner, his liability, his job. He should have watched the shor. Nothing to do with what the shor itself did. That is halacha of the owner's own atonement. That cannot come and reflect on the halachas of the shor. And therefore, we can learn that the halacha of nizakin from the halacha of skila. And therefore, it says Reb Shimon, just like by skila, it's not going to get it. If it did a shleb kavana, so to nizakin of the shor is not going to happen. There's not going to be liability if it did it shleb kavana. Now the Gemara moves on with the next halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Niskaven lahargis a behema, vahargis a adam, vahulu, then pater. One of the cases mentioned in the Mishnah regarding this halacha that we said that if it didn't intend to kill a person that it would be chayiv for the death penalty for, although it ended up killing him, he's going to be exempt. One of the cases was if it, the animal, the ox intended to kill an animal and instead it killed a person, then he's going to be exempt. Now the Gemara makes the following inference. But it sounds like, but if it, let's say, intended to kill a person, but it didn't end up killing that person, it killed a different person, then it sounds like that chayiv, then the ox would be liable for the death penalty. It's only when it intended to kill an animal, where that it wouldn't be chayiv for at all, and then it killed a person, then you're exempt. But if it intended to kill someone that it would be chayiv for, although it ended up killing someone else, and then it would be chayiv for skila, says the Gemara, so masnit in the like Reb Shimon, then that inference, according to our Mishnah, so it must be the halacha of our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. The time like we learned in the Braisa. Shimon Naimi, he says, afil niskaven laharik ezeh, vaharik ezeh, potter. He says that even if it intended to kill one person and it killed a different person, the animal is exempt from skila. Ask the Gemara, my time of Reb Shimon, what's the reason of Reb Shimon? So the Gemara says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, hasher yisakil, the ox will be stoned for having killed a person, v'gamba olav yumas, and also regarding when it's a muid, also its owners will be killed. Which the pasuk there explains, it doesn't get killed, the owner, he has to actually give pidyon nafshi, he has to redeem his soul, which is the halacha of kaifer. But what we see from the pasuk is that there's a comparison, kemisas bailum kach misas hashar. The pasuk is equating the owner being killed to its ox being killed, which teaches us the following important halacha. Ma bailum ad mechaven le, just like the owners. Reb Shimon holds, as it's brought in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Testament Aleph regarding halacha of a murderer. It's the murderer is only going to be liable for the death penalty, only when he intended to kill this person, not when they tried to kill one and ended up killing someone else. So too, his ox, as the pasuk is equating the two, will also only have the death penalty, only if he intended to kill the person that he ended up killing. But if he intended to kill one and killed another one, that Reb Shimon is not like the halacha of our Mishnah. He holds that then, even then, there would be a betur. Whereas the Rabbanan, they disagree with Reb Shimon, who they're the Tana of our Mishnah, and they actually hold, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that actually even the owner himself, if he intended to kill one person and killed a different person, he actually would be chayiv for the Misa. And therefore, yes, the same thing would apply to his shor, that if intended to kill one person and kill the different one, would also be chayiv for a skila. Because actually the bailam do have the same halacha. Whereas Reb Shimon holds that the bailam would be patur, so too the shor would be patur in such a case. Now the Gemara asks, according to Reb Shimon, u'bailam gufayim minolan, where does Reb Shimon know that the owner's actually himself, if he intends to kill one person and kills a different one, that he would be patur, and therefore so too his shor? Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, V'arav loy v'kamalav, that if a person lay in the ambush for him and he got up on him and killed him, then he's going to be chayv for that misa. What that teaches us is that ad sheiskaven loy, until he intended for that person. But if he actually intended for a different person and then killed that person, then he's actually going to be exempt for that murder. And therefore the same thing applies to his shur. Now, Rabbanan, hai va'arv loy ma'avdile, so then the question is, according to Rabbanan, what do they do with that pasuk? Similarly, that pasuk says, like Reb Shimon, that there's an exemption for having killed a different person. So, but the Rabbanan who say that there is a liability, what do they do with that pasuk? So, Ami debir Reb Yanai, so it's said in the yeshiva of Reb Yanai, that they learned it out for a different halacha, a lesser of a halacha. Then you're going to be exempt. Prat lezarek evan lugai. That's excluding a case when someone throws a rock into a group of people. There's a group of people and the guy throws a rock in there. Now, in that group of people, there are non-Jews and there are Jews. Now, there, it's only there where the Rabbanan say that then yes, the murderer will be exempt, because you could say he intended to kill one of the non-Jews, which would not make him liable. So there, since it's possible that it would have been someone that he wouldn't have been chayv misa at all, that is, even if he ends up killing a Jew, he's going to be exempt. However, when he intended to kill a Jew and killed a different Jew, either way he would have been chayiv, then the Rabbana hold that he is going to be chayiv for that death, and so too the Shar like the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Heichadami, what is this case that the Bei Rabbi Yehuda is explaining for the Rabbanan, where they're learning that there's going to be an exemption for the death of that Jew when there's a group of non-Jews and Jews? If it's talking about that there were nine non-Jews and one Jew amongst them. Now, typically, ask the Gemara, the Ruba Kananim Ninu. Then it should be enough to say why he's going to be exempt is because we always know you go Basar right, you go after the majority. And therefore, you don't need a pasuk to say that the murder will be exempt, because the laws of the majority tell us that there is a non-Jew that was going to be killed, and therefore, of course, it shouldn't be killed. You don't need a pasuk of an Arvloit to come to exclude that case. Inami even more asked the Gemara, even if palgul palgul, even if let's say it was half and half, let's say with the five non-Jews and five Jews, still you wouldn't need a pasuk to exclude the murderer from the death, because the Torah tells us in Bamidbar Lamed Hei, v'shaftu ha'edu, and it says v'tzilu ha'edu, which tells us that you judge the assembly and you have to save the assembly, which teaches us that safek nefashas lahakol, that you have to try to find a way not to kill the murderer, which means to say that when you have a situation of doubt regarding a person's life, which includes this murderer, you go leniently. And therefore, even though it's half and half and it's a suffix, but a suffix by nefashis, you go lahakal. And therefore, even when it's 50-50, why do you need a pasuk for it to tell us that this murderer would be exempt? So the Gemara says, you're right, loy tzricha, the case that it's talking about of this pasuk is the ikka tisha yisraelim ve'echad kanani. Actually, it's talking about where there was nine Jews and one non-Jew. So that's the chiddush of the pasuk. The afal gav, that even though, in other words, if not for the pasuk, you would have thought to say the ruba Yisraelim ninu. Now, the majority of those are Jews, 9 out of 10, and therefore you say you go after the majority and say that his intention when they threw the rock into the group was to kill a Jew. Now, as we know that although that maybe that he didn't intend to kill that person, that doesn't make a difference. As we explained according to the Rabbanan, they hold when you intend to kill one Jew and you kill another Jew, then you're going to be chayiv. And therefore, in this situation where you're throwing a rock into a group of 10 and 9 of them are Jews, then obviously you intended to kill a Jew. So even if you kill another Jew, still you should be chayiv, as is the opinion of the Rabbanan. That's why we needed a pasuk according to Rabbanan, that is kiven de ikachad the kanani benayi, because since there's at least one non-Jew amongst them, so then they were stationary. Now the halacha is, whenever you have stationary, then it's really a 50-50 chance of who it is that is going to be killed. And therefore, you're going to qualify it as 50-50, then you're back to that halachic dictum that we said, that when it's 50-50, which is a situation of doubt, then we're going to go in a lenient interpretation. And actually, Rashi says that regarding all the different areas of halacha that we find throughout Shas, that what's called kol kavua, kemechza, mechza, when you have things that are stationary, not when it's the parish, when it had separated, when you have like the classic case of 10 stores, 9 of them selling non-kosher, one of them selling kosher, or the other way around, that we say that whenever it's parish, you find it out of the store, you go based on the majority. But when you go to the store, where the stores are stationary, that we say it's considered 50-50, it's actually learnt out from this pasuk of the Rabbanan, which is the pasuk of Arav Leib Kamalav. It's only when you went and you intended to kill a Jew, but when you threw a group a rock into a group of people, even though 9 were Jews and 1 was a non-Jew, then it's a situation of considered 50-50. Doubt it could be either one. Doesn't make a difference that there is 9 Jews. It could just as likely be killing the non-Jew. And therefore, Safek Nefash L'Hakal, that's what the Pasuk is telling you. In that case, you're going to be exempt from the death penalty. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was the halacha that when the ox kills a person, the ox gets stoned. So now the Mishnah continues on that halacha. Shar ha'isha, the ox of a woman. V'shar ha'yisayim, or the ox of orphans, which they don't have an apotropos, a caretaker taking care of their oxen. Or shar ha'apotropos, or the other way, the ox of a caretaker of orphans. It's just that now that since there's a caretaker, the responsibility is on the apotropos to watch the ox. Or shar ha'midbar, or the ox of the desert, where it's just roaming around the desert. Or shar ha-hektish, or an ox owned by hektish. Or shar ha-ger shemes ve'in le-yarshin, or the ox of a convert that died and has no inheritors, so therefore no one owns this shar. Says the Mishnah, ha-re elu chayavim misa, as the Chiddush, as we'll see, is although that some of these cases don't have your regular baal ha-shar, which the pasuk tells you that's the owner of the shar, that has the responsibility. And here it's not a regular Baal Hashar, where either because it's not a man, it's a woman, or it's Hektish and not a regular commoner, or it's orphans, or because it's just roaming around the desert. Either way, says the Tanakam of the Mishnah, still they're going to be liable for the death penalty. Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says that no. He says regarding Shar HaMidbar, the ox of the desert has no owner at all. Shar HaHektish, that when it's an ox of Hektish, or Shar HaGerish HaMeis, or the ox of a convert that died, that again has no inheritors, Petur min Amisa. In those situations, the ox will be exempt from the death penalty. Lafish Ein Lambailam, because it doesn't have, in your classical sense, owners. Of the Midbar for sure not. A ger that dies has no inheritors, has no owner. And even Hektish is not considered your regular owner. It's considered that by Hashem. It's not, doesn't have a Baal, and therefore doesn't qualify for what the Pasuk says regarding the term of Baal Hashar. And that's why the owner, the ox itself will be exempt from the death penalty. Now the Gemara brings a Braisa, explains this halacha. Turn up on the Braisa. Shar Shiva. It says seven times in the parasha, when an ox gores a person, it says the word shar, ox, seven times. So says the Braisa. Lehevi, that comes to include, whereas Taisa says, where the seven, one of the seven is for the halacha itself, of that an ox goring a person. But then the extra six times that it says it, comes to include six other cases, as the Tanakhama of a Mishnah said, comes to include shar isha, the ox that's owned by a woman, where, as we said before, that you shouldn't say that, although it says in the Torah, Baal Hashar, which connotes usually a masculine term, that has to be owned by a male, that the extra word shar comes to say, even if it's owned by a woman, shar harisaimim, even though it's orphans that own the ox, shar apotropis, even if it's just a caretaker taking care of, it's not your classical owner, just a caretaker, shar hamidbar, even if there's no owner at all, even if it's the ox of a desert, shar hahektish, even though it's owned by hektish, shar hager shemesav ein liyarshin, even though it's a convert that died and has no inheritors, either way, as we'll see later on, what's the difference between shar hamidbar and shar hager shemes, where both of them don't have any owner, we'll see, as the Gemara explains it in the other opinion of Rabbi Huda, then we understand, according to Rabbanan, why it needed a rebirth to say that even though there's no owner, still the extra word shar comes to include that these type of acts, and if they kill a person, will be liable for the death penalty. Now, Rabbi Huda Imer, he disagrees as he does in our Mishnah. He says, shar hamidbar, the ox of the desert, shar hahektish, an ox owned by hektish, and shar hager shemesiv, and liyarshin, the ox of a convert, who has no inheritors, and therefore he has no living relatives, so therefore no one inherits, no one owns the ox, peturim and amisa, these oxen will be exempt from the death penalty. And he says, lefisha elam bailam, because it has no owners, and therefore the other ones he knows are obviously included. He doesn't learn that out from the shar shiva. He says, whereas these that have no owners, it's not included in Baal HaShar. Now, the Gemara qualifies, Amrav Huna, he says, peita hayur bihuda, bihuda that made this exemption regarding an ox that has no owner, let's say if it's owned by Hektish, or if it's Hefker, it's a Shar HaMidbar, he exempted even a Filonogach, even if it first gored, meaning when it gored, it had an owner, or Lebesayif, Hektish, and then at the end, before the court case, then the owner went and made it Hektish, or let's say Nogach, Lebesayif, Hefker, if let's say it gored with an owner, and then at the end, before the court case, the owner was mafkrit, made it ownerless, and now there is no owner when the time of the court case comes around. Still, even in those cases, Rabbi Huda would say that there's going to be an exemption, there's not going to be a death penalty on that ox. Says the Gemara Mimai. From where do we know this? How do we know? How does Rav Huna know that Rabbi Huda holds like this? So he proves it from Rabbi Huda. Mediktani Tarti, from the fact that we learned in the Mishnah, two cases of Shar Hefker, which are seemingly the same type of a case, of ownless oxen. It learned Shar HaMidbar, it said regarding the case of an ox of the desert, and V'shar HaGer Shemes, the ox of a convert who died without any heritage. Now, the thing is, Shar HaGer Shemes, Maini, what's the case of the ox of the convert who died? What would that case be talking about? And the reason is because the Kivin, the Eliyarshan, since it's obvious he has no inheritors, Havalei Shar Hefker, so then that is essentially an ownerless ox. So then the question is, Hainu Shar HaMidbar, Hainu Shar HaGer Shemes, V'Eliyarshan, so that's exactly the same case. An ox of the desert, meaning that no one owns it, is the same as an ox of a convert who died without any inheritance. Why would you say both cases? El Alav, rather, says Rav Huna, must be Hakamashmal, and this is what Rabbi Huda is coming to teach us by saying the additional case of Shar HaGer, that he's coming to say that it wasn't always an ox that was ownerless. Whereas, because it's telling us that Filo Nogach, even if it gored when the convert was alive, it had an owner at the time of when it gored, but at the end, then, which a different case, let's say, when the owner was makdish it, or let's say, nagach ulu b'saif of a gourd, and then at the end, then the ger died, and therefore it's considered hefker, that then it became hefker, that's Rabbi Yehuda saying, that still the ox is going to be exempt from the death penalty, shmaminah, from that extra case of ger shemes v'en l'yarshin, must be, it's not just saying a classical case of hefker, because they already said that by midbar, must be saying that even if it became hefker after it gored, before the end of the court case, even in such a situation, Rabbi Yehuda was saying that the ox will be exempt from the death penalty. And the Gemara says, Tanem Hochi, actually similarly learned like this in the Braisa. The Braisa says, yes, Alkein Amr Behuda. More than this, said Rabbi Yehuda, not just if it was never owned that he disagrees with the Tanakama and that the ox is going to be exempt from the death penalty, but even more, Afilo Nogach Ulu B'Saif Hekdesh, even if the ox gored and only later did the owner make it hektish. Or Nogach Ulu B'Saif Hefker, or if let's say gored and then only later did the owner, declare to ownerless, still Pater, even in that situation, the ox is going to be exempt from the death penalty. Why? So this is the source. Shnemu, because it says in the Pasuk, it says, Vahuad biva olav, that testimony was said on the owners, which that must be in court, in Bezdin, because a testimony can only be in court, which is regarding the court case. And Vahemis Vagayman, then it says that if, let's say, the ox killed a man or a woman, so then it says, Hashar Yusakal, the ox will be stoned, Vagamba alabumas, and so too the owner has a liability for Kaifer because it's a Shara Mood already. But one thing we see from the Pasuk, says Rabbi Yehuda, that you need to have the death and the court case to be as one. Meaning the halacha of vahuad biv olav, the ownership has to be not just at the time when the ox gored and killed the ish of the isha. It has to be that even in court you still had the ba'olav. And that's why you see from that halacha that the owners have to be there at the court case, and therefore, if let's say he was mafkered or makdashed before the court case, even though there was an owner at the time of the goring, the ox will be exempt from what the pasuk says of asher yisakel. Now, however, the Gemara asks, the Gemara din lay b'inan, you're telling me the way you just made that drasha from Yehuda is until you have misa v'hamod b'din, which is the actual court case itself. But what, you don't need to have the owners to be there even at the conclusion of the court case? But v'ha'asher yisakel gemar dinhu. But another element mentioned that same pasuk of the ox being stoned only happens after the conclusion of the court case. And you're saying that the pasuk is equating that you have to have b'va'alav throughout the whole procession all the way till hasher yisakel, which are by the gemar din. So the gemar amends and says, yes, ela emer, rather say, atshetehe misa, until you have the death of the person who was killed, v'amadabedin and the court case, v'gemardin and the conclusion of the court case, shavan keachav, until you have them all uniform to say that you had the ba'alav all the way through from the goring, all the way till the end of the court case, that's when you'll have the halacha of asher yisakel. But if you didn't because the ox was declared ownerless, or the owner died like a case of a ger shemes, or he was makdashit before the end of the court case, then like Rabbi Yehuda holds, not like the Tanakama of our Mishnah, that then the ox will be exempt from the death penalty. In other words, not only if it was always hefker, but even if it only came before the end, the ox will be exempt from skilah.